friends. I'm Val.
I'm Courtney.
And I'm Lisa.
And this is My Perfect Romance.
Bow, chicka, bow, bow.
What about all over you?
Or how about my sweet love?
I think we all have a different idea about what romance is.
Well, what is the perfect romance?
Gosh, I don't know, but let's find out.
So this next movie was really cute.
I've been so excited about it for so long.
I know. It's like drama.
Because I love both of these actors.
I do so much. They're so cute.
So our paths. I loved him in Twilight. But that's kind of one of those roles that like an actor can get pigeonholed and always be Edward. Right. Yeah. But the thing is, he's so good that he's done a lot of movies since then and totally different characters and done an excellent job.
Absolutely.
So I like him as an actor. I think he's a great actor. And I think Zendaya, she is
so cute and pretty. And there's something about her that I just absolutely
love. She's magnetic. I really enjoy her.
I do too. So I was I was like, oh my gosh, two incredible actors together. I can't wait to see this.
Well, and the premises of this movie is so cute because like they're getting married. And so you know, you see how cute they're like, oh my gosh, this is my dream person. And they're like this adorable, amazing couple. And a week before their wedding, it drops like they're getting together with their best friend couple. And
it's a major bombshell.
Super bombshell, because you find out they all share the worst thing they've ever done. And it ends up being really awkward.
Yeah.
Yes. This movie, the drama, was released in April of this year, 2026. Yeah. And it was written by Christoph Björgli.
God, I'm so glad you all know that name, not me.
Yeah.
Sorry.
I tried to practice it before, but you know me. I can't pronounce anybody's
name. We should all try. Christopher Björgli.
Is it
Björgli?
Borgli?
It's Christopher.
It's Christopher.
Yeah.
It was produced by Ari Aster, Lars
Knudsen.
I am so bad at this. And Tyler Capelloni.
Yeah, it's hard.
But I can't do this one.
It's just hard.
Yeah. I'm just going to struggle through it every single time. The main love interest is played by Zendaya. She plays Emma. Mm-hmm. And Robert Patterson, who plays Charlie.
I love that name.
And
so Emma and Charlie. And so some fun facts. I mean, I already said how much I love these actors. They're going to be in three more films this year. So,
oh my gosh, together?
Together.
Wow. So, how do they even have that much time?
Do they just like each other? And they're doing,
I don't know.
Wouldn't that be awesome? Can we start a rumor?
I mean, in a lot of films. So maybe that's what it is. So it's one of three. The Odyssey coming out and Dune Part 3.
Are you guys going to be in that?
He would be great.
Robert,
for that.
I mean, Robert Charlie.
He would be. I just totally.
The actor. I love it.
I could totally see him.
He's not. Well, I don't know. I haven't read Dune.
He's not the hot sting character.
No.
The bank character would be.
Maybe he's a. Maybe he's a villain.
Anyway, we'll see. All we can do is see. And then the director, he specifically chose this apartment because of the sophisticated staircase, like the spiral staircase. Oh. And I just think like spiral is such a great, you
That's
know,
true, because it keeps coming around.
The spiral just keeps spiraling. Yes. And you see that spiral staircase throughout so many scenes in the movie.
I did not pick up
and
on
so
that.
And so that's one thing that was really representative of that, a theme. And the other thing is at their meet cute, and I didn't know this about the color green, but she's wearing a green sweater. And so from the outset, it's supposed to symbolize some mental instability. Oh, I didn't know that green meant that.
I didn't know that either.
Green always seems earthy and bounding to me. And
it seems.
Longing.
Yeah. I always associated green with the horny, with novelty, like new, fresh grass, money. But I didn't. And when I did interior design, they said that green chalkboards the reason they were green instead of another color was because it promotes learning.
Yeah.
And so I was like, oh,
instability never green with me does not match. In fact, I would probably pick green as one of the most stable colors if I were to tell you what I think.
And my favorite color.
Yes.
So awesome. Yeah, I was like, oh, I didn't know that. No, it was representative of mental instability. But
Well,
that's what they're saying.
Hey, well, maybe that's what the color they just picked to represent that.
Yeah.
So.
Yes.
But this couple's cute. So it starts off like this adorable couple meets in this coffee shop. Mm-hmm. And I just
I love the coffee shop meet cute.
It is so cute. So
it feels cliche, but they totally refreshed it.
They really did, because he comes up to her and, you know, you just can see him working up to doing it. And finally he gets the courage to come up to her. And so he starts, she leaves a book on the thing. He goes and takes a picture of it, and it goes back and looks at, oh, what is this book? What is this book? Mm-hmm. Does a quick, like, 2 second, like, look up to see what the book is.
Yeah.
And then goes up to her and tries to talk to her about the book. And she basically stonewalls him. And he's like, okay, awkwardly turns around and goes and sits back down. And then I'm impressed with him, because then he gets the courage to, like, come up again and approach her again. And during this process, she's starting to stonewall him again. And then he's noticing other people are seeing that I'm getting shot down again. Yes. And he's like super feeling uncomfortable. Yeah. And he's like, oh my God, people are responding because they see me getting like completely shot down multiple times. And during that process, she catches the movement of him trying to like, okay, I'm out of here, going. And then she takes her earbud out of her other ear and looks at him and is like, hi, what's going on?
Yeah.
As he's leaving. And she's like, wait, stop. Were you just trying to hit on me? And he's and he's like, yeah.
So I have like real life experience with the whole earbud thing, only having an earbud in one ear. Because I was deaf in my left ear for 36 years.
Mm-hmm.
And for my 36th birthday present surgery for the third time. So like it was no easy feat to get my hearing in that ear. But like, just the superpower of being able to like shut the world out whenever you wanted was fucking rad. But at the same time, super confusing to people, because they could never tell, like, can she hear me or can she not?
One ear.
Which ear should I approach this person on? Like, side.
Well, and I would always forget which ear was, I don't know that on me. I'd forget which ear it was. And I talked to him. He's like, hon. Other side.
Couldn't tell you which ear Lisa was deaf in.
You get really good at faking it. Nobody knows until like you put an earbud in, or you're on a pillow and you're intentionally wanting the world to be quiet.
Well, and I know Ben would always have to tell people, because he'd maybe see people talking and he was like, I'm not responding. I need to tell them, hey, I'm deaf in this ear. I'm sorry. I didn't hear what you said.
Yeah.
And then people are like, oh, gosh, I'm so sorry.
Not that this is ever going to happen to anyone.
Mm-hmm.
But if you ever get pulled over for a drunk driving thing, because I was sober driver one time and got pulled over. And it was on Main Street, because I didn't turn my blinker on when I did their arch. And I was taking everyone home. And anyway, if you have to do a drunk driving test, they're not allowed to repeat the question. So if you don't hear it because you've got a friend being loud and obnoxious in the car.
Interesting.
And then you screw up the thing because you don't hear, like if they'll say, start at this point in the alphabet and go backwards 10 letters. It'll like tell you these confusing things because it's supposed to check your mental cognition. But if your friend in the side seat is like going, she's not drunk. She's taking us drunk ones home. And then you don't hear the police officer.
The drunk passenger.
And you don't hear the police officer because your friend's being obnoxious. They're like, I can't repeat the instructions. You're like, are you kidding me? I'm going to fail this because, I mean, and that's what I just said to him. I said, can you just have me blow because I'm sober? And this is obviously not working. Can you just have me blow, please? Because I don't want to fail a drunk driving test when I haven't had anything to drink. So, I mean, but I could see that happening where you're just like, I can't hear you. What's going on?
Yeah.
Anyway, their meet cute is really cute because when she realizes that she couldn't hear him, she's like, go over there and restart. So he goes and sits back down where he was and then starts from the very beginning for the reproach. And this is a cute thing that happens in the relationship where you learn that they're like, we allow each other do-overs.
Yes. And that is like, I feel like a very important theme of this movie. And it kind of like bookends it in a sense.
And it's like, okay, well, when one of the themes and questions in the movie is when do you allow a do-over? And when do you say, no, that's not, you don't get a do-over after that.
Yeah.
And they have to determine in their relationship what that boundary is and what that looks like for them.
And so, you know, that you get to see them fall in love and do all of those. So like, I loved how that movie went through because he's writing his speech with his friend. And he's like, oh, well, tell me about this and tell me about like all these normal like milestones in a relationship. And so you get a really quick summary of how they fell in love. And you fall in love with them.
Absolutely.
And their love story. Yeah. Sometimes.
Yes.
And his list is like, horrible. he wants to talk about how amazing she is. And mm-hmm. she's like pages and pages and pages of, I think she's the most wonderful person that's ever lived.
Yeah.
And I have to sum this up quicker.
Like, how can I possibly sum it up? She's so amazing. He's so in love with her.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But then really the movie kicks off like they're about to get married.
Yeah. High so end, really very fancy wedding. People are flying in from London.
Yes.
This at a really expensive place. Like this is mm-hmm. not a backyard wedding.
No, and it's not like it's the kind of thing where you can say, never mind.
Just before the wedding, they're walking down the street and they see the DJ that they hire for their wedding doing heroin. And so after they're with their friends and say, oh, I don't know what we should do. Should we fire her? Mm-hmm. And they're kind of discussing it. You know, people make mistakes. Who knows where she's at in life? Is that going to really influence what she does at the wedding? And they start asking each other, you know, what's the worst thing you've ever done?
Right.
You know, like we've all done bad things, but what's the worst thing you've
done?
And
they're with their two
best friend couples. Yeah.
Like he's his best friend and she's mm-hmm. her best friend. And they're like, they're just best friend couples.
And, you know, I think they've all done really bad things when they
get the best friend thing is horrible.
Okay. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
They're all pretty bad.
I was really happy that they have that because mm-hmm. I think it was really important to show
how two-faced and iffy. Like that best friend was a terrible human.
Oh, goodness.
Like
yeah.
I have to say, as far as movie characters go, that best friend is a bad person.
Yes. I mean, well, you know, even Charlie, I think his bad thing was pretty bad too.
I can't even.
He's cyber bully somebody. And he's like, and I don't know why that might be the reason they moved out of the neighborhood.
Yeah, that's a pretty big deal.
That's pretty bad.
Very telling.
He was about the same age that 13, she was. And she did 14, her.
Yeah.
All of them did their worst thing at that awkward 13 middle to 15 school-ish. Age.
Yeah. So when Emma reveals that she was.
And as they were revealing, though, I feel like they got worse and worse and worse. Did you still get a
No, I felt like the girl no, who locked like the boy.
This was the worst? Okay.
Which one do you think was the worst?
Well, I think they were all bad.
They were all really bad.
I think the best friend, or what the male best friend, him using his girlfriend as a human shield against a rabid dog, that was probably the least bad.
I think so, too, because that was more of a...
That's a survival...
You know?
That's forgivable.
And the dog had already bit her first, so he was just avoiding the situation.
He was just like, bite her some more.
She's already been shot. She's already collateral damage. Just let her get damaged more.
Well, so Emma reveals that she had contemplated doing a mass shooting in her mm-hmm. school.
Really close to doing it.
Yes, and that's why she's deaf in her ears, because she was practicing using the gun and mm-hmm. she got it too close to her ear and it burst her eardrum.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
So this begins a backlash against her. And I don't know why everyone... I mean... We see throughout the movie, because she replays why she was contemplating that. Mm-hmm. And you see that the reasoning was she was bullied.
So she was treated basically like the things that those guys did happened to her.
Yeah, yes. She was the recipient of that.
Uh-huh.
And she was also influenced by the machoism of guns.
I loved this part of the movie.
Yeah.
I thought they did such a good job of just showing the culture now around gun violence. Some countries, when there is a mass shooting, they don't allow the mass shooter's name to be publicized in any way, shape, or form. They don't talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
But what they do talk about is the victims.
Yeah.
And the major loss. I think in some sense, and there was a little bit of this because there were some European factors, because I think Charlie was from Europe.
Mm-hmm.
And like just the sensationalization of the way that our news media portrays events like this.
It's terrible.
It can promote
fixations and
an imitation, an imitator. And that's part of it too. I really loved that they made us think about that a little bit in this.
Yeah.
Film. Yeah.
Well, just like the fact that one of the reasons that she doesn't go through with it at one point is because someone else does it like a few days before she planned on doing it herself. So she wouldn't get the attention that she wanted. She wanted the attention from doing this because that's what our culture gives you.
Yeah.
And so she's like, oh, well, I can't do it now because someone else just did
it. They stole my thunder.
She sees the repercussions of what somebody else has done. Somebody they know in the school has died because of this shooting.
Mm-hmm.
And it shifts how she feels doing something like this. What that actually looks like. She's young. Yeah.
It was
make-believe
to her because it was so...
It had been so sensationalized.
Yeah. And if you've been wrong... And she had been wrong. She was being bullied. She had no one supporting her. Her parents had just moved to this area. So she'd been just displaced. And she was home alone. She didn't have a support
kids
system.
Kids were mean to her. And they didn't see her.
Yeah. Well, and because of this, it brings the school... all the kids in the school closer together.
And they start seeing each other and respecting each other.
And loving and supporting each other. And I love that anti-bully campaign.
Yes.
Yeah.
That is an essential part.
And, yeah. So
stopping gun violence.
So yeah. after the aftermath of this young man dying is that she gains friends. She becomes an anti-gun activist.
Well, and anti-bully.
And it changes her life. Anti-bullying, anti-gun.
Connection.
And I think people don't understand.
Yeah,
I hate to say this. Most bullies and abusers were being bullied and abused, and they felt so powerless that you kind of have to decide, am I going to become worse than the worst thing and become the biggest bully, or am I going, you know? And so she was just saying that, like, a lot of people, when they get to that point, they become the bully.
Yeah.
And she was at that point too. She was like, I'm so sick of being, and you don't know how to escape it. And so, and then you also are like, our society also promotes that she wanted people to know that it wasn't okay for what they had done to her.
Yeah.
And it's not okay. It was not okay that the way that she was being treated and ignored was not okay. But you don't get, people don't stand up for that and say, it's not okay to treat people like this. And so she was like, I've given up. You know, she was ready to die. She was planning on, you know, being, she knew that she would, this was a form of suicide.
So this movie did a really excellent job of showing just the sensationalization of gun violence. How to counteract that. And even though it's a romance, I was appreciative that because I haven't seen that in media before. It was very extremely well done.
Yeah.
And I think one of the important things though, it is the contrast of different levels of how we hurt each other.
Absolutely.
And so I think it was interesting though, because they're sitting at that table and her best friend.
Evil person.
Who's her act of violence. She carried it out. And this other person only by sheer luck survived.
Yes.
Yeah. So, I mean that.
She was going to let someone die
and she
to protect herself.
Exactly.
And she intentionally she brought this person to this situation
mm-hmm.
So she was malicious in intent.
Yeah.
I mean, she didn't plan it, but she's like, oh, the moment spurred. Yeah. And what she did was absolutely
terrible. But in horrible. The moment of this movie, as they're revealing these secrets, she becomes very self-righteous only because she can totally ignore the fact that she did something extremely awful.
Absolutely.
Because her cousin was paralyzed
in a shooting.
And therefore, she starts pointing the finger and pointing it so heavily and angrily that it makes Charlie, I thought Charlie was like, oh, okay, well, there's probably more behind this that we're not getting into.
But yeah.
Because she became so self-righteous about it.
Yes.
It triggered something in Charlie where his empathy and his curiosity shut down.
Yeah. Which is also a form of bullying. So this best friend is a terrible human. They're a big bully. They have no self-reflection. And it's really, she's poison.
And she shut down any opportunity for empathy or inability for her to explain herself. Because you could see, she's like, but let me tell you where it happened or where this went.
Yeah.
The acting was so phenomenal. Oh, they're just sitting at a table.
I hated her.
And you can feel the emotions as they're working
through them. They did such a good job.
And the spiraling.
Emma became, it's so disturbing for her. She becomes physically ill.
Mm-hmm. And the bully, the best friend bully wins. The best friend bully. Yeah.
Yes.
Is first person at the table actually gets all the power.
She excommunicates Emma.
She does.
You know.
And everyone lets it happen, even though everyone else is a nice, compassionate, good person, except for the bully.
It's like a campaign against Emma.
Yes.
And so she's reliving what happened to her. That led her up to that, like, in a sense.
Oh, 100%. And she's like, I thought I escaped this. I thought I found community of love. I thought that I learned in that experience that people actually love each other and are caring. But yet the person who's now supposed to be her best friend.
Yeah.
Is terrible and stays terrible.
Yes, it activates her stress and she feels it because Charlie is no longer
supportive,
acting the way a loving partner.
And the way he always has.
Yes. Yeah.
She had always adored her.
Yes.
Well, and here's the thing too. The question is it goes back to the same thing because here you have, when you have a very strong bully who is an ugly person, who doesn't self-reflect on the fact that they actually created a terrible situation and then actually carried out and followed through something that could have killed someone. But then they just dismiss it because they got lucky that this person actually just didn't die.
They were lucky.
Yeah. It had nothing to do with them. Everything about them.
And they never owned it.
And they just dismissed it. Oh, it's not that bad. Whatever. They can just brush off their icky. Yeah. And then this terrible, terrible human then basically tells everyone else that they're terrible if they don't hate this person too.
Yeah.
You have to hate her because I'm judging her. And because I judge her. And then the compassionate people then start going, oh, well, maybe we should hate too.
So it does. It impacts Charlie to the point like that. I mean, what did you guys think? Well, and he was having a conversation. He's just trying to process this with someone that he trusts that's unbiased.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I totally understood why he's asking her, well, what would you do if you found something out about somebody?
Yeah.
How would you respond? And the assistant's response, I was actually quite shocked.
Yeah.
She's like, I would call the police.
I know. Yes. And that makes Charlie even more.
Right. And so it only solidifies like, oh, the things this bully, the bully wasn't actually doing enough.
Yes.
And this is a normal person.
He gets bad advice from multiple, but that's what happens is sometimes.
And it's out of context.
Yes.
And Charlie forgets that he fell in love with Emma.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He forgets about, he starts letting all these other things take control of how he feels about her when he forgets, like, who did he fall in love with in the first place? She's still there. That's her right in front of him.
Well, and so then it's funny because then you see Charlie having all of these like icky feelings.
Oh,
okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
We'll
Courtney has to leave, but Valerie and I will keep talking about
it. Exactly. Love you, girl. Have a good one.
Yeah. So when he's trying to process this, mm-hmm. and he
has big emotions,
has a lot of big emotions.
It's super intense.
And he awkwardly starts making out with his assistant that, you know, just trying to feel normal. To feel anything but these awful
avoidance behaviors. Like, it makes sense in the moment.
Yeah, that it does.
But he's totally. Yeah, it makes sense. In the moment, he makes a bad decision. And he's a human.
I was shocked because the assistant just immediately, like, didn't even question, like, let's
do this. Yeah. And the assistant then, I mean, this lets you also know how.
What kind of a person that assistant is.
Yeah. Like, she's like, okay, in the moment, we can do things. And it's part of these things are the whole concept of people who are being reflective and people who are impulsive. And some people say, if you do terrible things in an impulsive moment, that's okay. But if you actually think about things and if you contemplate terrible things, but mm-hmm. don't actually follow them through, these impulsive people who do terrible things say they're justified. But mm-hmm. the person who actually contemplates something really terrible and then decides not to do it is worse.
It's shocking.
Yeah.
But I just thought the irony of, like, it showed how impulsive that person was. Like, mm-hmm. I out of context question, I'm going to go to the most extreme response.
Absolutely.
And then out of context, you're hitting on me, and I'm going to go to the most extreme response.
Well, and then also he does that. Like, the fact that, like, hey, you're supposed to be a good guy, and look what you're doing something terrible right now.
Yeah. But I will say, I don't know that he would have taken it beyond kissing.
Yeah, actually, no. I mean, he's the one who pulled the pant belt off. She didn't pull the pant belts off first. And she said, okay, we're fucking now.
But then he stopped himself as soon as he was like, oh my God,
I'm about to fuck this girl.
He initiated the belt. She pulled her skirt up.
Yeah, she was just like, okay.
And he was like, wow,
I'm doing this. Yeah. Oh, so, it was a wake up call to him that, whoa, I'm about to do this. I just allowed that to be acceptable.
Yeah. So then, I mean, he's still dealing with all this awkwardness, mm-hmm. but they have to move forward with this wedding. Rachel, the best friend,
is terrible.
The wedding speech. I mean, she basically says, like, wow, it really says a lot about you that, like, the only person you could get to do a speech is your coworker because you have no friends. Like, she basically says that. And I mean,
Rachel's a terrible human.
She's a terrible human in every way, shape, and form.
And she takes no accountability in any place.
In front of everyone. So then all of a sudden, like, there's this electric buzz.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone can feel it to the point that, like, okay, then his best friend, who's kind of, like, guiding Rachel's, everybody through.
Well, it's also Rachel's and husband.
Yeah. So he's like, I guess it's your turn for a speech. And at this point, Emma's like, I can't talk.
Yeah, she's completely.
She's so hurt. And so he's like, okay, then Charlie, go ahead.
Yeah.
And Charlie is just like, he's offline and he is just verbally out loud processing
everything.
They are airing every dirty laundry thought that they've ever had in front of everyone they've ever loved.
Yep.
And I can't imagine anything more
humiliating,
shaming.
It was terrible.
Like, how on earth are you supposed to come back from that?
And and it also comes out, like, the whole him and his assistant don't know fuck. And that comes up, and then so then he's getting beat up.
So right, like, how are they supposed to go on? Like, are you supposed to postpone? Do you proceed?
Just call the whole thing a wash
and move on? Like, what?
What do you do?
I don't know. And that's kind of where we're going to leave it.
Absolutely. But I do want to can I just dive on hating the best friend a little bit more?
She really hated
her. She was a terrible, no, this is, I think the reason that I have such a visceral feeling is, like, in every term, she was a bully, and she was also a bully who was supported by society. So, like, this Rachel girl, she was actually supposed to do a job with but she didn't call her for weeks. Well, for days.
She was ignoring
her. She was ignoring her on something that was super important for a work thing. And then so then Emma was in a situation where she had to say, okay, I guess I have to assume that this volatile, very explosive person is, by not contacting me about all the work stuff, this is her way of telling me that she's not
going. I don't want to participate.
I'm not going to do the job. And no. So she tells her boss, maybe we should get someone else to do this because the person that's supposed to be doing the job
hasn't followed through
and isn't communicating and not even communicating that they won't communicate or they will communicate. Yeah. So she does the responsible work thing and says, okay, well, we should probably find someone else. And then Rachel, of course, then says, well, she just fired me.
Mm-hmm.
But not taking any accountability into
again,
the fact
out of context
that she didn't just fire you because of this. She fired you because you were not doing your job.
I think that's what bullies do to people.
Yeah.
Is they manipulate stories to fit their agenda and usually is taken out of context.
Absolutely.
It shuts down and they shut down anyone else's ability to be curious and seek out more information.
And they control the environment. Mm-hmm. So the other people don't even have an opportunity to get support or get help.
And they stir up everyone's emotions around it.
Yeah.
They're very good at stirring up emotions and playing off of that because then it shuts down anyone's ability to be curious about it. It's like she's a master
manipulator
to the point that Charlie questions even to the core of who he is.
Oh, she destroys everyone around.
Mm-hmm.
And this is what it's I really hate about her. She's a terrible human. Like, I very rarely find terrible. Like, I can find empathy for people. I can too much.
Yeah.
She is a terrible, terrible human, and she never gets any reckoning. That just makes me so upset.
Because, you do get to understand Emma, and you do get to empathize with her, and you do get to see what a beautiful human she is.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
But the thing about Rachel, her backstory, she's doesn't change.
No.
Like from the moment of her talking about how she hurt another vulnerable human and
intentionally
did so. It may have been an impulsive, semi-impulsive.
Yeah.
Actually.
Yeah, semi-impulsive.
I think there was a little premeditation to how that all went down.
Yeah.
But
she was like, bored that day.
Yeah. And so I wonder, like, do bullies, I think sometimes really empathetic, kind people like Emma, they can kind of get caught in the snare of bullies.
Absolutely.
Because a bully can't thrive without somebody to feed off of.
And someone to control. If they like an empathetic people are easier to control.
So I thought just everything about how this was written and even I want to say that her husband, she was going to just like, we're not even going to go to this wedding.
Oh, yeah.
Because she doesn't deserve us. Like, she basically should have been the one that paralyzed my cousin. Like,
oh, absolutely.
And
the cousin and her weren't even that close.
They didn't even see each other. Like,
yeah, exactly. But then she went on this high horse of...
Yeah. And she tried to convince everybody, but even the husband, it did show, like, some kindness and empathy on his part. Mm-hmm. Just see that, like, she has a way of getting surrounding herself with kind people who she gets to
manipulate
and control. And so it's just that dynamic was just really well done. And I thought that the writers did an incredible job.
They did. I really wish the one thing I want the bully to, I want to see a show where the bully loses.
Yeah.
That's not Disney.
So the thing about this movie, though, it wasn't about the bully.
It wasn't, but
and if you didn't have the bully,
this show wouldn't have worked.
You couldn't have had this spiral.
Yeah, and also if the bully was not called out as the bully, you know, like if they called the bully out as the bully and the whole show became we're gonna get the bully, then we would have missed the fact that
Yeah.
Nice people have to live in a world with bullies and still not let the bullies ruin their compassion.
Right. And so the hope that you have is that these two people who genuinely loved each other.
Yes.
That they can see through that and see Rachel for who she is.
And not even, and I guess you are right that the show isn't about Rachel. The show is about not letting.
And it is a romance.
It is a romance.
Let's not forget that.
Yeah.
But like when you have such an infection in your life, because she's truly like.
She is gross.
A cancerous tumor.
She is. Yes. Like
can you overcome that? Because I really think that it's a hard thing for people to do.
Well, and you know what's funny? Like people will say, like, it's weird how a long time ago in our friend group, there was that one woman who kind of got in a little bit and we were like, oh my gosh, she's cancer.
Yeah, I wasn't around.
No, no, you were. It was our kids'. Remember the lice incident? And we only were friends with her for a few months, but you know who I'm talking about?
Yeah, the year of the lice.
The year of the lice. But like, there are some cancer people who can just ruin an entire community. It's like, it's
and
so
the
crazy.
Wild thing is they're very charismatic usually.
They are. Yeah. And like, and you can tell like sometimes it, one person in a work environment can just like, you're like, whoa, how did that happen?
Yeah.
And that's what's just so scary to me. Like, that's why I'm fixating on this is because I don't know how to get those people out of situations. Like, I don't know how to not be a bully, get rid of bullies. Like, I just don't want those people around.
I know. It is something that is we all have to deal with. And you want to say, you know, please, bully, fix yourself. But unfortunately, the world usually enables that behavior. I think it takes a lot of love and empathy to overcome the hurt that a bully can cause. And for someone who is in that bully mindset to change their ways,
how do you get people?
I mean, we were talking about it earlier this morning. I'm like, oh, a good friend of mine is dealing with this.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm like, I think the answer is you have to fight fire with fire.
Oh, but then and you don't want to become the bully.
But the way you fight fire with fire is, okay, so a bully's goal is to bring you down and to make you miserable.
Have control.
But the best way is to live your best life because success can be the best revenge.
It's just
and
hard.
What else can you do? So I think that for them to overcome this, they need to come together.
Yes.
And they need to cut that person, that infection,
out.
That tumor
out
of their life. And unfortunately, until enough people do that and the bully has nothing to feed off of, they'll continue to thrive. And they're always going to look for that person that they can feed off of.
And what's sad is those bullies, the scary thing about a genuine bully is unless they can find another environment to gain power, they will fixate on trying to ruin you
as their
fix. You know, like you need to pay for not letting them have control over you now. But I don't know. I mean.
Yeah. So you literally have to.
And it's
cut them out. It's like if you've got an infection, they're going to feed off of whatever you give them, like sugar, tissue, whatever. They're going to destroy that, eat it, and it can destroy you. Or you can look for external help to help get rid of that. And I think it does take more than one person in it. You need some positivity and connection in your life to overcome that.
I like having compassion for bullies, but I think that as a human, one of the things that I'm learning is I will always have compassion for every living creature if they're at a point where they can self-reflect.
Yeah.
But and when someone's not to a point, like the thing I didn't like about Rachel and the reason I think she's evil, to me, an evil person is someone who will not reflect on themselves. Yeah. That's the source of evil. When people will not own their actions, well, that's evil to
me. As long as the world never makes you, you won't. And so she'll continue to be that way until something serious enough happens that makes her say, oh, it's time for me to change. But you don't have control over that. All you have control over is
you can't make
and seeking ways to heal. Cut that out of your life and heal.
Yeah.
And that's what needs to happen.
And we have to say, do you think this couple is going to be able to do
that? Can that couple do this? And so the movie, the way that it ended, like I said, it bookends.
Yeah.
Where it's beautiful. Like we get to start over. We start with a clean slate.
Yeah. Why don't we try this again? Hi.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was so cute.
So well done.
It's cute. I love those actors.
I actually think like this is a 5-star. Like I loved it.
Yeah.
I don't know that the general population consensus loved it like I did, but I just thought it was so well done.
It was well done.
But the way that it ended, I still was like, okay, I can see they're starting new, but what triggered me is he is trying to open up and be vulnerable and apologize and own.
Yes.
The things that he's done to hurt her, and she shut it down to do the let's start from scratch. And to me,
I was a little bit disturbed.
I was disturbed by that. And I thought to myself, well, crap, they're never going to be able to have hard conversations.
Yes.
They're not going to be able to heal from the hurt because it just gets shut down. And that to me was a big red flag. And I was like, That's not going to work for very long. But the fact that like that was kind of that how it was, I was like, there, how long are they going to last? I was like, crap, I don't know, maybe 2 years at best, unless they go to counseling and learn some good repair and communication strategies, because that wasn't a great way to handle it, shutting him down.
Wiping the slate clean is
not
repair.
To do that.
It's not repair. I mean,
no.
Yes. A do-over mentality is nice. Giving people second chances is nice.
Yeah, we're going to work on this. This is hard. And he was trying to start that process by recognizing and owning his hurt and how he hurt her.
Yeah.
And it got shut down. And I was like...
Yeah. And I think they were trying to make it look like it was beautiful that she said, let's just start all over and love each other.
Yeah, it was meant to be like a full circle kind of a moment. But I was like, ooh, that's bad.
Okay, so is that our culture in a sense? Like our culture's like ignoring the ugly is actually a form of love? Because I think that by them trying to say, let's let the love story be them saying, it's okay, we're just good people, let's love each other.
I kind of felt like that's what it was saying.
Yeah, I think
and
so
I
too.
And I didn't like that. So, okay. So
our
I took it from
that.
A 5-star to maybe a 3-star.
See, that's where
they
I
They brought up some
up
really important points.
Mm-hmm.
But because of that moment of, hi,
but
I'm so-and-so. And she just kind of like wiped it all out. That's not repair. That's not healthy. And so I will say that one of the books that I've read about, you know, relationships and like some red flags that to look for, like some red flags are minor, like, oh, okay, they have bad breath. Well, I mean, we can work on using different mouthwash, you know, whatever. Like that's an ick you can overcome. Like that's just such a minor red flag. It's not a big deal. But this same book pointed out some major red flags. And one of them is they called it off the table-itis.
Yes.
And it's when you are showing up and being vulnerable with your partner and your partner stonewalls you and they won't go there with you. You can't ever feel emotionally safe. You can't ever really communicate with them in a way that's healthy or positive. You can't connect with them. And it is actually considered a form of emotional abuse. And it is a danger. And it is such a red flag that the author of that particular book said, this is a relationship that your safety is at stake. And you might need to consider leaving. It's that big of a deal. And I think that if... I hate to say it. It's a big deal.
Absolutely.
So I was worried. I was like, what a bummer.
Yeah.
You know,
that was my happened. That was my thing too, because I think that what came of it is we realized that they're both good people, that they both have the ability and compassion to understand another individual completely.
Yeah.
But I also did not like the fact that she wanted to wipe the slate clean instead of actually grow from the experience of repair.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because repair, the ability to repair is what is your predictor of longevity.
Right. So this movie got everything, right? Mm-hmm. Everything except for that.
Yeah.
And so I'm hoping that the viewers, that when they saw that moment, and they didn't romanticize it and they thought, oh,
that's
shoot.
Love. That's not the healthy love. That
wasn't a healthy love.
Yeah. I mean, that's a nice trait that someone can say, I am willing to overlook the past, but that's not what was happening there.
Yeah. It felt poetic, but it wasn't. It wasn't what you want to strive for. So
yeah.
Yeah. I was bummed. So I was like, oh, crap. Maybe they're going to make it 2 years at best from this point forward, at best.
If they don't learn,
maybe.
Because the first time someone else comes and says, oh, something's
2 years, 3 months.
It just, it depends on, they're still vulnerable to any racial that comes up in their life.
Yeah.
Until they actually learn how to talk through and fully repair things. And, you know, they did learn a lesson in compassion, but these were compassionate people anyway.
They were.
They just learned a new way to be compassionate and to see a fault in their compassion, or at least not so much from Emma's perspective.
Okay.
That Patterson, Charlie learned a new thing about himself in his compassion. Emma's character actually didn't grow this experience. She had the opportunity to grow by hearing him, but she didn't grow.
Yeah.
Patterson's character grew, but then he was shut down for the biggest part of his growth.
And exactly. And so for him, he's now stunted.
Yeah. So
that was kind of a bummer. Did you think it was very spicy?
It was cute. It was cute.
Yeah.
But it was still like.
It was green pepper.
Green pepper. Yeah.
I think as far as steam goes. Yeah.
Yeah.
There was like a shocking scene in the office. And then there was like when they're falling in love their first time. Yeah. It was just quick and cute. I wouldn't have been embarrassed to watch that in front of my 2-year-old.
No.
But they wouldn't have gotten any of them.
I hope they wouldn't have understood.
I mean, it is rated R. There's a reason it's rated R.
Yeah, it is rated R.
This is mature content. Like, this is like challenging topics to understand, for sure. I was very like intrigued by the concepts in this film, though, for sure. And I think it was a really important film on so many regards, not just the romance part of it. I loved the way that they talked about violence.
I really like that. I really loved how they kind of showed that we kind of have a cultural thing where we're encouraging people to actually contemplate that. And I think that that's one thing that, you know, the Rachel blew past the fact that this is a societal problem where we are not letting people actually talk about their feelings in a sense. Mm-hmm. Like we see that shut down even with her. Yeah. She shut down real communication with her, but we're telling people that the only way to be heard is in these crazy gestures and actions. And the fact that we understand that Emma is actually a sensitive person who is, you know, like when we're starving, how do you reach out? And, you know, and that's what I really loved is that when we saw that the school was starting to care about each other and we remember that. So I don't know, I kind of feel like she didn't, when she had her opportunity to and give a hug and hear someone expressing their pain and they're like, hey, I made a mistake. Instead of hearing that, oh, I made a mistake and letting them generally be seen for what they happened and what they did, which her husband actually finally got to that point where he understood it.
Yeah.
Understood where she was coming from and how she made, you know, got to where she was.
Yeah.
She actually didn't hear it.
Yeah. Oof. Yeah. Yeah. I think it's an important takeaway from that.
And we get embarrassed by things. We get embarrassed by our uglies instead of realizing that they're our most beautiful opportunities for connection.
And I will say, like, they weren't in an emotionally safe place.
No.
To be able to communicate and connect. So I think that did they respond normally?
I wonder if that conversation had happened without a toxic person around, I think it would have gone a lot differently.
100%. It couldn't have been a movie without that.
Mm-hmm.
For sure. Yeah.
So does this matter? I thought it had a lot of important things. Yeah.
Yeah. It's a good watch.
It's a good watch.
I would highly recommend it.
I would. And not just for the romance. I really loved the whole understanding of our cultural fuck ups and how we handle violent situations.
And I love that it presented all types of violence,
mm-hmm.
just the physical. It did a really good
job
of doing that. So after watching this, the drama,
yeah,
you know, our trust issues might be at an all-time high.
Yeah.
Just because of a drunken game of secrets.
Absolutely.
Oh my gosh. It's a psychological thriller. Great actors.
Great acting. Even the bitch who I hate.
Yeah.
She did such a good job.
And it's nice to just recognize, like, everybody comes with personal baggage. And it's not about, like, finding someone that doesn't have it, because that doesn't exist. All come to the table with personal baggage. It's just who's better at hiding it, I guess, maybe.
Yeah.
And then letting us unpack it in a safe way over time. That's kind of what relationships are about. That's
Absolutely. Because we've got
baggage.
We do.
Find a person that's safe and in a safe way that you can unpack it.
And be a safe person.
Yeah. And when you see that dirty underwear coming out of the suitcase, like, don't judge. Yes. that was fun.
Yeah, it was really fun.
Go to our website if you want to reach out to us, suggest something. Or
www.myperfectromance.com. Like us.
Yeah.
Follow us.
All the good stuff. You'll find all the links there. And then if you want to watch movies and read in advance, we're going to be doing Girls Like Girls, starring Maya DeCosta and Myra Malloy. And we're going to also be doing The Marriage Seed with Lionel Moses. And coming up podcast, I'm excited. We're not too far off. 100th episode.
I know. That's crazy.
It goes by fast. And I'm really excited about it because we've got Lee Balcom. We're going to be debunking Happily Ever After. So
that man is so wise.
See, like, you know, his take on different themes that we've been coming across with romance movies and books and all that jazz.
Yeah. Absolutely. So until then, keep believing in the perfect version of your own romance.
Yeah.
Yep. I'm Val.
And I'm Lisa. And Courtney had to bow out, but she was here. So keep on romancing, everybody.
Absolutely. Yep. XOXO.